Welcome to Cattle HQ, a podcast from industry experts and progressive producers discussing cutting-edge info about the cow-calf sector to keep cattlemen and women in the know and positively affect their bottom line.
Welcome to Cattle HQ, brought to you by South Dakota State University Extension. I am Robin Salverson, cow-calf field specialist based out of Lemon, and a familiar voice of Kiernan Brandt, the cow-calf field specialist in Watertown will be my sidekick for this episode. Joining us as our guest is Dr. Trey Patterson, the CEO of the Padlock Ranch near Ranchester, Wyoming. During this episode, Trey will share his insight on working with employees at the Padlock Ranch. So welcome, Trey. It's great to have you back. We've actually had you on a couple other podcasts earlier in the season.
Oh, it's great to be here, and I look forward to this discussion. This is always exciting to talk about human resource management and the opportunities and challenges that go along with it. So thanks for having me.
Well, thank you. And to share a little bit to our listeners, can you give a description or share a little bit about the Padlock Ranch? And how many employees do you guys actually have there at the Padlock Ranch?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So we are a diversified cow-calf farming feedlot operation in northern Wyoming, southern Montana. We currently have about 36 full-time employees. Our payroll in the summertime will be about 50 people. Relatively flat organizational structure. You know, we're a big ranch and production ag enterprise, but still relatively a small business. And really the way we're structured centrally is that we have a livestock manager that oversees our livestock operations, a farm manager that will be over all of our farming irrigation, and then an asset manager that oversees our ranch maintenance, our fleet of vehicles, equipment. And so those three are really the field generals, if you will, that have direct reports under them. Also, In our central management team, we have a chief financial officer, a data social media manager, and an administrative manager. So I have six reports under me, and then those people, especially those in the production, the livestock farm and asset manager, have folks that work under them out in the field. And, we're relatively flat in that we overlap, we help each other with different operational aspects, and they're all kind of involved. But the bulk of the really the people lies probably more on the livestock side. And just to give you an idea of how that's structured, we will have our ranch units broken up into about 2,000 cow units. And each of those units will have a person in charge that we call a unit manager. And under that person will be one to three full-time employees, depending on whether they have yearlings and the complexity of that operation, you know, on that ranch and so on. And so they then direct the day-to-days on that area that they're responsible for. The farm has some type of a structure too, maybe quite not that formal. But I think the big thing is that there's a lot of autonomy built into the system, a lot of people outside of central management that are making very important decisions every day and directing a lot of people. So people management and resource management become really important to us. And I realize that every agricultural operation isn't structured like that and doesn't have that many people or that much size. But what that's forced us to do is be somewhat professional, or learn to be professional. And I'll share some of that with you today about how to approach that. And I think the principles really, you know, apply to anybody as you start looking at this discipline that is so important to our business.
Kiernan, do you have any initial questions for Trey?
I'm going to try to limit these analogies, but I was getting caught up over the long weekend, and I think it's fair to say that you're like the John Dutton of the padlock now, in that capacity, but you haven't always been that way. Right. I mean, you were formerly the, you know, the livestock manager, right. Or something in that capacity, kind of to where you oversaw, those individual farm to farm, different breakdown of operations.
Yeah, that's right. So I actually came from an extension background, was in a beef specialist with South Dakota State, as you guys know, and came over here as an operations manager, and really started even on the front end of that, did not have a lot of people under my report, started fairly humbly. And you come into a place, you know, a ranch with a PhD, and I will tell you something, a PhD doesn't mean squat on a ranch. I think it just stands for post-hill digger. So that doesn't buy you any respect or credibility off the bat. So you have to earn that. So I did, I earned that and worked my way into a position over time where I was overseeing all of the operations, first the livestock and then farming and then financial as well. And so I've been here about 18 years and was asked to take the role that I'm in now as the CEO in 2014.
You've really gotten to see it kind of progress through some growing pains and transitions and progressions. You know, I remember touring it for the first time when I was in undergrad and, you know, before I really knew anything about extension or academia or anything in that capacity, just the struggles that sometimes and challenges that it can be to implement new ideas, especially coming from an academic background. And I'm sure Robin, you know, knows as good as anybody how, you know, the struggles of coming from that perspective to try and implement some of these management strategies, especially when you've got to have, you know, 15 or 16 or however many, 36 full-time people all get the same ideology and kind of get with the program.
Yeah, you know, change is always hard and it takes leadership to do that. But I think the first thing that was important for me, you know, coming here was you first have to understand what the existing system is and why things are being done the way they're being done. And that doesn't mean that that's all perfect and that can't change. And we employ that concept when we hire people today because we want people that are innovative. But we tell them, you know, we don't want you to come in and think you're going to change our whole program in your first year here. But after you've understood why we do things the way we do, then we're completely open to innovation and to be challenged with some of those concepts of kind of the historic past. And agriculture, you know, ranching in particular, is pretty steeped in a lot of tradition and stubbornness. And that's important. That's what makes us resilient. And you do become very good at what you do over time. And most ranches are. They're pretty darn good at it. But sometimes it's really good to step back and be challenged. Yeah, we're good at what we're doing, but are we doing the right things? And there's always a learning curve for everybody. But I think that was the first step, is really trying to understand where people were coming from and why things were being done. And then when you do have ideas for change, that's really where leadership comes in. You know, I think leaders are not there to drive consensus. They're there to be more molders of it, you know. And so you start getting people on board with different concepts. And sometimes that takes baby steps and it's a little slower than you want. But I think there's an approach there that makes that less painful than, you know, just hardline changes.
So Trey, you mentioned some of your, how you work with your employees and make them feel valued, but how do you physically communicate? I think communication is sometimes the biggest barrier or breakdown, whether it's within a family or a business. And so how do you communicate with your employees so they feel and understand what is happening on such a large operation that you guys are functioning with? And also, how do you communicate that they are valued?
Yeah, I think the big thing for us is You know, we all live in this digital world today, and so we do communicate a lot amongst ourselves, you know, with text messages and through our two-way radios and so on. But I really stress the importance of personal communication, of looking people in the eye. And so, you know, for instance, with myself, I will share information and just that by text or email, but I never provide direction by text or email. Direction needs to be personal, I think. I think that's really important. You know, and the way that people can feel valued is to understand how they can be part of this larger picture. And I think that comes with establishing purpose. And so why is my job important? Well, my job's important because I need to take care of this set of cows. Well, why is that important? Well, of course, so that they stay alive. Why is that important? I think if ranches and ag businesses start digging into a deeper purpose and get that communicated to employees and get them to buy into that, you're going to have a more robust and innovative and engaged group of people. And that's hard. You're always going to have some people in the operation that may not be interested in that. But boy, you identify the ones that do, and we want everybody on board, and some of them are just gonna engage at a higher level. In our business, we've established what we call five elements of purpose, and that is why we exist, and we talk about that in interviews, we talk about that in staff meetings, and it is how the owners of the ranch, it's a family-owned business, that's how they evaluate our success. And those five elements of purpose that we've established are, number one, human excellence, having excellent people and developing people, having engaged people. The second one is excellence in natural resource management, taking care of our resources that we're given. That's kind of part of the sustainability picture, when all of this is really part of sustainability, but it's part of the natural resource side of that, good grasslands, taking care of riparian areas, the ranch resources. The third is financial excellence, profitability. We feel like that we have to be profitable to stay in the business for perpetuity. And so we talk about that. Decisions that we make are based, have a profit motive, but that's not the only motive. The fourth element of purpose is being a positive member of our community. And that's just through service and representing ourselves well in the communities where we live and work and in the greater beef industry. And that's one of the things that, you know, why I would take time to do something like this. It's just trying to help other people and help the industry out and be a positive member of the community. And the fifth element of purpose that we work under is for the ranch to be an emblem for the family. And the family becomes very, very important when you think about their engagement, their passion to stay in the business and in ranching. And so we talk about those five elements quite a bit. And I think that's important to help with engagement, if people understand that there's maybe something greater to what they do than just taking care of this crop or this set of cows or whatever. It's for a greater purpose.
What, you know, just off the top of your head, you know, that's a great kind of roadmap. You know, some of those things that get implemented don't necessarily just go off the greatest at the beginning. What are some of the highlights, some of the most drastic changes that you've seen implemented in your time with the ranch? You know, I've always kind of grown up hearing that philosophy, especially when you're coming from something that you don't have a background in. If you want to get really good at it as fast as possible, go find the best out there that exist and whatever it is. At the time, the first time I heard it, it was probably a baseball quote or something like that. Go find the best in the world and copy them verbatim and try to replicate exactly what they do. And that'll make you an expert the fastest. What are some of those things that you guys have that you've personally seen implemented in your time at the padlock that have, you know, been eye-opening for the ranch that might not have been the easiest to understand right off the bat or the easiest to take hold?
You know, I think the interesting thing about that is we have had some fairly large changes over the years, like change in time of calving season. And a big one has really been the change in the HR model, how we operate, you know, and part of that was out of necessity because of the really change in the workforce. There was a time in ranching where you had, you know, 18 to 22 year olds lined up to come, you know, do seasonal work. And they were young single people that would work for peanuts, you know, for room and board, and you could have a lot of them. And so, you know, that has that availability is not there. And so we've really transitioned more into having fewer people. We've got half as many as we did, you know, 25 years ago. But having higher skill level, kind of caliber of people that can handle that. And you say, man, you just put more work on them. Well, it's working more efficiently. But, you know, with all of that said, I think it's been more of a slow evolution. You know, it's not one of those things we haven't had personally. I know some businesses have, where you wake up one morning and you make an announcement, we're making a huge change in how we're doing things. It's been really a disciplined approach to management of the ranch and making sure people know that we are very professional under each of those elements of purpose, that we're operating this like a professional business and being very disciplined in how we do things and the accountability that comes with that. And so I think really the change in the human resource side of things has probably been the biggest one and has had some real hurdles with it. And I'll give you an example of that. I think, you know, the folks that are my generation or older, you know, we grew up in a little bit of a different world than some of the younger workforce today. And I'll give you an example. You know, I had a chance to play a little football prior to all this. And, you know, back in the day, it was not uncommon to have football coaches that would holler at you and scream at you and call you names and just heavy, heavy disciplinarian type approaches. And you look at the successful ball coaches today, and they're not like that. They're engaging more at a personal level with their employees. And I think the ranching, you know, community had a little bit of that kind of mentality, like get your butt out of bed, get to work, do what I say, do it how I say to do it, and don't give me any lip. And so that transition took some time in coaching to say, that's not how we want to do things anymore. It's really a culture change. That's probably been the biggest thing I could come up with to answer your question.
Oh gosh, that's been top down too. Robin, I'll let you dive into that one. But I mean, you know, the biggest one that pops into my brain is just how much we've learned from the science and just from the common sense side of cattle handling and facility design and, you know, just handling when you're managing those animals, just through your attitude and through your pace and everything from the top down, and just how systemic that can become and how important that is to, you know, herd health and docility and your happiness when you get done at the end of the day. I mean, everything.
Oh, it does. You're absolutely right. And I can give you an example. One time I was at a weaning. We were weaning a fairly large group of cattle, and it was not going well. And when I go out and work with our, you know, our unit managers, and I don't do that as much as I used to, but I didn't come in and say, well, I'm the boss, I'm taking over. Because they had been leading every other day, right? So I let them continue the lead. And I was just one of the guys. But we had one of those days that there was an absolute wreck going on. It was not working well. The cattle were not handling well. And the guy that was in charge was hollering at people and, you know, get over here and do this different, and you screwed up. And it just kept kind of spiraling. Well, he trots over to me and says, what is wrong with these people today? And I just looked him in the eye, you know, sitting horseback to horseback there, and said, the problem today is you. You were nervous because this was a big group. Your horse feels that, your people feel that, the cattle feel that, and you've set this whole situation up for failure. Maybe you ought to take 15 minutes and go cool down, and let's just regroup. And so that it all really comes back to the human side of it in all the processes.
I have been to places where I dread going to, because it is all about the humans. It's not about the animals. It's about how the individuals around you are reacting to the situation. And so, Trey, I totally fully understand going into that weaning situation where it really wasn't the animals. I dread going to certain places, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I try to myself try to be calm and kind of react to the situation in a calm manner. But when you have people around you, sometimes you feed off of that too, unfortunately. And Absolutely. Again, it's all about the humans. It's not about the animals. And I have to share, my 16-year-old nephew probably gave me the best advice, and it kind of relates to this. It's work smarter, not harder, Aunt Robin. So he's absolutely right. So this has been a great conversation. You've really gave us a lot of good, just valuable things to work with employees, work with the staff that you have with you. You know, and you mentioned it a little bit ago, how you used to be able to get quite a few, you know, those 18 to 22 year olds, those young pups there in to help you. And across the industry, across the ag industry, actually across every industry, they're having challenges of attracting individuals to work for them and or even retaining them. And so could you share what you do at the Padlock Ranch to attract those individuals? It can be anything from the basics of how do you advertise to do you provide benefits? And I know you are a larger operation that employs 36 plus people, but what are some of those ways that you attract individuals to come and stay with you when it comes to that?
Okay, well, a lot of that starts, I think, with word of mouth. I mean, we get quite a few people just from our network of people that we associate with, and we let our employees, it's not just the management's network, they have networks. And if you expand that network and we go to somebody and say, do you have any friends that may be looking for employment and so on, you use that network. And I think we've really moved a lot away from, we still do advertise and post jobs. That doesn't always yield a candidate. We're finding more and more leverage in social media, to the point that we have a person that is in charge of that for us, a social media manager. And I'm not a social media person and needed somebody to help with that. So we hired that position, and then that person has some other roles as well. But we really try to leverage that. And then, you know, when we, I guess the next step is really when we are get a list of candidates, of being careful when we select those that we're going to interview, that we've checked some references, that we know how you know, we have a little background on them, but how we interview them becomes very, very important to make sure that we're getting somebody that really fits our culture. And I've learned that grown over time in our thought process is maybe hiring Competency is always important, but maybe hiring a little less on competency and a little more on attitude and work ethic and fit to our culture. And then we, you know, we can talk about that, may be beyond the scope of your question here, but interview techniques and so on. But, you know, when we get them here, I think getting them onboarded, right? I saw one author one time, right, that people decide usually within the first 2 weeks whether they're going to be at a place long term or not. So getting them onboarded is really important. And it's always when you hire somebody, you needed them yesterday, right? I mean, somebody quit or left, or you had a need pop up or whatever. And we're still guilty of this, but we're trying to get better. You bring somebody in and you throw them right into the fire, and there's a lot of pressure. It's a new job, and they just moved too. They've got personal things that they're dealing with. And so I think that onboarding process is really important. We do provide benefits that we really believe in wanting to take care of people. And so we provide health insurance. And after an employee's been here a year, we have a 401k investment program where they can invest in this 401k, and we will match that up to 5% of their salary. And so we put some money into that investment for them. And then, of course, some vacation time and other little things that I think mean a lot to people, you know, like a little Christmas bonus and those type of things that just try to help out. And there, I realize there's some operations that would have trouble managing all of that. But there's, you know, health insurance, you know, on the public platforms and others that you could help them find insurance for their family and really kind of invest in helping them. You can encourage them to put money aside. And I think that really engages a lot of people, especially those with families and some others, that to say, hey, this place really cares about me long term. And I think that's just that kind of that investment into them early on and throughout, and how we treat them with those kind of benefits.
You know, you kind of touched on it a little bit there, but something I think that's worth diving into a little bit more, that, you know, it's whether it's working cattle or the team dynamic from, you know, unit to unit, or the hierarchy within the entire operation structure. I think just overall as a people, as a species, we've kind of, whether it's technology driven and because we communicate so much through cell phones and everything else, that seems like sometimes maybe we're losing our ability to have those tough conversations with each other, with someone has, you know, that bad energy. And curious just to hear your thoughts on how you address that within your day-to-day experiences. And you know, is that something that you can foster through intervention, or is that something that you guys just try to avoid through emphasizing that onboarding and the doing your homework through the hiring process?
Yeah, I think we have to be intentional about that. You know, it doesn't necessarily come naturally. And so one of the things that I think is really important is you have to provide clarity. You know, people need clarity as into what's expected of them, and you need to understand what their expectations are. And if those don't match, I always think of an interview as being truly a two-way interview. We have to meld. And so I think a lot of times, you know, interviewing people or coaching or directing or reprimanding people, we do too much talking and not enough listening. And so it's really setting back and listening, but being willing to be very real with people. And I think for the most part, a lot of people appreciate that and will respond to it. Or they'll leave. And sometimes attrition's not all bad, right? If they're not fitting the culture, whether it's right up front or later, but you've been direct, you've been real, and you've been polite and professional. I had an employee tell me one time that the biggest butt chewing he ever had in his whole life, he said, I grew up with people screaming at me, and the biggest butt chewing I ever had was with you, and you just told me you were disappointed in me. And he said that I went home and beat myself up over that and decided to make a change. But I'm just trying to say, so it's not about cussing and screaming and hollering in those difficult conversations, just being very real, but listening also, if you're dealing with something, you know, listening to the other people. I hear people say all the time that, well, the human resource is your greatest asset. People are not an asset. They're individual human beings that come to you with things that are going on behind the scenes that you don't understand. Issues at home, issues personally, depression, addiction, past experiences, and they all respond differently to different styles. And so I think good leaders are never going to be perfect at that, but you try to discern that and try to help people really where they're at, not where you're at.
Well, I think it's about time we need to wrap up this conversation with Trey Patterson. Kiernan, do you have any other questions or comments for Trey before we wrap this episode of Cattle HQ up?
No, I think we, you know, this was a pretty good, concise little episode. Trey, thanks again for joining us. It was a pleasure as always, and we'll have to do it again soon. Holler at us if extension can be of any help, or you know, we'll go ahead and attach some of the resources that we talked about, and also the episodes from the last time we had you on, to the description. So make sure to check those out. We got a lot more onto the specifics of the cattle side at the padlock, and we'll have to do something again on that next time.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I could talk about this all day. So, you know, if I could just leave you with one thing. I think it's about leadership, and I do not believe that you can motivate people, but I think that you can move mountains with motivated people through leadership. And so it's getting the right people on board and being a good leader. You can do a lot of good things.
Thank you, Trey, for that last thought. Very, very powerful. And I hope everyone can take that home. Regardless if you're managing 36 plus people, or if you're at home with your son or your daughter, that is just as valuable. So this has been Cattle HQ, brought to you by SDSU Extension, headquarters for all things beef cattle. Visit extension.sdstate.edu for the latest beef information. Until the next episode, remember, a smile is like a virus. It is contagious.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Cattle HQ, brought to you by SDSU Extension, headquarters for all things beef. We invite you to visit extension.sdstate.edu for the latest beef information, as well as subscribe to the show on Spotify. You will also find show notes and resources from today's episode. Until next time, remember, success is not a goal, it's a byproduct.